Support for the Source podcast comes from UT Health San Antonio, South Texas' largest academic research institution, where what is discovered in its labs translates into life-changing patient care. More at groundbreakingresearch.org.
This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. Suzanne Simpson has been missing for a week. Law enforcement family and friends have been searching for the 51-year-old mother of four ever since. Her husband, Brad Simpson, was arrested on Wednesday morning in Kendall County, charged with unlawful restraint and assault, causing bodily harm to a family member, and he is in a Bexar County jail being held on a $2 million bail. Also, there are charges pending from the ATF. The Simpson case brings to light that Bexar County has a big problem with domestic violence. Bexar County has the highest rate of reported domestic violence per capita in Texas, and it's one of the highest rates in the nation. And in Texas, one in three women will be affected by domestic violence. We're now turning to talk to Marta Pelayas, the president and CEO of the Family Violence Prevention Services, to learn more about how big and widespread this problem is and what needs to be done. And Marta Pelayas, welcome back to The Source.
Thank you, David. Thank you very much for the invitation.
So what are your overall impressions? I'm sure you've been following this case with the Suzanne Simpson. Apparently there were some reports that it was known or had been seen that she was allegedly being hurt and had a troubled relationship. Had you heard all that?
Yes, I have. Yes, unfortunately. So that, to me, spells domestic violence. And to everybody else should spell domestic violence. I mean, the very reason, legal reason why he's been detained because of assault on a family member, let's call it what it is, domestic violence.
Right, because right now Suzanne Simpson is missing, and that's all we know. But we do know that there are reports of bodily harm to her by Brad Simpson. That's been reported, and the police are able to act on that. So, but in your experience, Marta, you know that when we see these fatal cases of domestic violence, they usually have, assault leading up to that. Is that what happens?
Absolutely. Domestic violence is never the ultimate action. It's domestic violence is not someone killing somebody else. Domestic violence is everything else that preceded that action. That's the ultimate act of control. But if you can imagine what that woman, and let's put Suzanne aside right now, but in any other woman victim that is killed, we should consider everything that happened before that final act. All of the coercive behaviors, all of the humiliations, the put downs, the name calling, the threats, the times when she was strangulated, the stalking, everything that goes to bring humiliation and a complete erosion of the self-esteem and the hopelessness that it brings to that victim.
But we're seeing this. So there's always a criticism of the media that we have latched on to the story of Suzanne Simpson because, and this has become a high-profile case because she is a white and this is an affluent family. You know, most people who feel the problems of domestic violence have never seen the inside of the Argyle Club in San Antonio. But, I hear that criticism and I ingest it and I think that, yes, that is true and that is real. But still, I don't want to diminish what happened to or what is happening to Suzanne Simpson. We have to think about it. And if this case can be a high profile case and we can highlight that this is a problem throughout Bexar County, then I think that's important. What do you think?
Absolutely. It is important. And it highlights the fact that domestic violence discriminates in no case. It does not discriminate. It can happen, and it does happen. if I could share some names, you would understand that this is not unique. It happens everywhere. Every socioeconomic status is impacted. Race, ethnicity, I mean, you name it. It comes from someplace else rather than, you know, any specific religion or any. No, it's everywhere. It's everywhere, and everybody should be very much aware. Everybody should be educated as to what it is, what it sounds like, what it does to a person, what it does to the family, what it does to a community. We should all know.
Our phone number is 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. If you want to call in, if you've got a question or a comment about the problem of domestic violence, intimate partner abuse happening here in Bexar County or across the state of Texas, we invite your calls. So many people who may have known that, oh, here's a couple and they're having problems, and one person in this couple is abusive to the other, but I don't want to get involved. Does that allow these things to get worse and worse and eventually have a fatal outcome?
Absolutely. Absolutely. If you know of someone, if you hear something, please call the police. Call the police. The police will investigate. And you don't have to be right on the money as to what it is that it's happening. Just call the police. Let the police investigate. Let the police get to the bottom of it. Let the police come and do a wellness check. Let them ask the neighbors what they may have heard or seen in the past. But if you see something, if you know something, if you hear someone screaming, please, by all means, call the police, because something that is not right is going on. And it is part of the problem. Domestic violence happens between the confines of four walls in a bedroom, between two people that have a past together, have children together, finances together. And unfortunately, for different reasons, neither one of the two want to come forth. The one, because he is the abuser, because he is protecting self-interest, he is a person of notoriety in the community, or he is doesn't want to break the facade that he's put in front of everybody else at work, friends, what have you. And she, perhaps because of the threats, because she does know what the threats mean, because there are children, because she doesn't have anywhere to go. The family doesn't know. They may not believe her. She's trapped. She's trapped. So that is perhaps in a very small capsule what domestic violence is. And that is why we don't know these things.
Well, let me ask you this question, and if I'm off base, just tell me so and we'll move on. Right now in this presidential election, temperatures are running very hot. And we know that there is a big gender divide between female voters and male voters. And there are some concerns that there will be an increase in domestic violence because the male in the household will not be happy with if the woman is voting for the Democratic Party, because they're concerned about reproductive rights. Have you heard anything about that?
Yeah, absolutely. I do. As to that, I do not know for sure, because there is no investigation, research, study out there that confirms what I'm going to say. But we have seen, for example, an increase in the number of babies that are being born to women while they are at our shelter. I don't find that coincidental. And they're telling us, you know, what is happening. So, yes, women's rights are on the line in this election, and that's a very important issue to more than half of the population. So, of course, it is going to drive people to go in one direction or another direction, and I hope that as women come together to understand what this election means to all of us.
Right. So have you seen or heard, or has there been any kind of alerts put out there or advice? There is a concern, like if the couple is receiving their ballots at home And then they typically will fill out the ballot at home together, and they may lose, the woman may lose her secret ballot, you know, ability there, because the husband is watching her, and then there may be coercion or abuse involved.
Absolutely, David. I can anticipate that. While I have not heard of any one specific case, I can assure you that is happening, because that is what happens in homes where domestic violence occurs. Coercion is part of the picture, is a big, big, big part of the picture. And let me just say one other thing that I wanted to say, mm-hmm. with the last question you asked me is, for every woman that is killed, 9 other women were almost killed. So as important and as shocking as this very sad and concerning case that we have in our community today, let's also think of those 9 other women who were almost killed.
We're going to continue discussing the problem of intimate partner abuse or domestic violence here in Bexar County and across the state of Texas. Also, if you have questions or comments, we want to hear from you. You want to share some stories. Also, I want to give you this very important phone number here, the Battered Women's and Children's Shelter, which is open 24 hours. They have a crisis hotline, and that number is 210-733-8810. I'm going to give that number again later in the program. We want this number available to everyone when they need help. And this is The Source on Texas Public Radio. We're taking a 1-minute break, and we'll be right back.
Support for TPR comes from Jingu House in the Japanese Tea Garden, featuring Asian cuisine with a San Antonio twist. Open for lunch 7 days a week. View the menu at jinguhousesatx.com.
This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. Since 1977, Family Violence Prevention Services and the Battered Women's and Children's Shelter has been working to break the cycle of family violence and providing emergency shelter and comprehensive services. And the number, the crisis number, it's open 24 hours. It's 210-733-8810. Let's go to a caller, and we have Mario on the line. And Mario, you're on the air.
Hello, how are you today?
I'm fine, sir. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Good. Thank you very much. I wanted to make a comment, and I'm not pointing fingers at a man or a lady or anybody who's involved in this abuse, because sometimes the ladies abuse the men as well. But what I'm saying, usually it's the men abusing the women. Okay. But what I really don't understand is, I've been married 43 years. I've never touched my wife. I don't think I've yelled at my wife. I love my wife. She's my treasure. I'm saying if a man is beating a woman, even the first time, second time, in my opinion, why can't she say, I'm out? I'm out. I don't think anybody wants to be punched or yelled at or made fun of anybody. I know I don't.
All right, Mario, thank you for that question. Marta Palayas is the president and CEO of Family Violence Prevention Services. And can you answer the question for Mario?
Absolutely. Thank you very much, sir, and more than anything else, for being the respectful man that you are. Domestic violence begins in very subtle ways. It looks like love. It looks like a care and concern. It looks like dedication. But the reality is that is how it begins. It's a pattern of progressive controlling behaviors between two people, and it is done through emotional, psychological, verbal, physical, financial, sexual, religious ways. any one of those factors constitutes domestic violence. It doesn't begin with a big screaming match, Mario. It begins perhaps with raising the voice and saying something like, oh, I'm so sorry, I didn't mean to do that. And it's part of the cycle. There is this honeymoon. He apologizes. He may bring flowers. And she believes, because she still believes that there is love between these two people. He has a different, completely different intention. He wants to control. He wants to appropriate. The victim becomes his property. And let's say now come the children. And there are other difficulties. She is less and less able to express her opinions, to participate in the affairs of the home. So that takes on all of the power that she may have once had, and she doesn't see clearly ahead of herself. Where is she going to go? Who is coming to her rescue?
There are not many options, especially if you're financially, if you don't have a lot of support.
Financial violence is part of the picture. It's part of the control. So the threats are very, very, very real, and they're increasing in severity. So he didn't used to put his hands around her neck the first time that they had that fight. It was perhaps something that he came back and said, well, I'm very stressed, and this is happening at work, and it escalates and continues to escalate, and it never goes back to where it was. It's an intermittent schedule of reinforcement. That is the strongest reinforcement that a person can be under. So she doesn't know, maybe this time he will really change. He says he's going to change. He says he's sorry. He even cried and got on his knees and apologized and brought me flowers and took the children to dinner. We all went out to dinner and had this wonderful time. I think he is going to change.
Why is this a problem in Bexar County? Bexar County is the worst in the state of Texas, one of the worst in the country. Why?
David, I get that question quite frequently. I think that we have to look at everything that we all do as a community, including perhaps the culture of secretiveness that we have, perhaps the culture of permissiveness that we have, perhaps the traditions in our home. That's why I very frequently say, have those conversations at home. Take a look at what it is that you do traditionally in your house and analyze and discuss, how is it that we are doing this and we're hurting each other? We're hurting the children. There are more fights than there should be. What can we do? Those conversations need to be had. Perhaps there are other elements in our culture that need to be considered.
But it's broad. It's not any part of the city or the county. It's all segments. It just seems to be something that we need to be talking about more often. And Martha Pelayas, thank you so much for coming on board today, talking to us about this important topic. We appreciate it. Martha Pelayas is the president and CEO of Family Violence Prevention Services. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. We're taking a break. We're going to come back. We're going to go back to the pledge drive. Stay with us.